Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Amy Walter. All this hour, we've been talking about the sexual assault allegations made against Brett Kavanaugh by Christine Blasey Ford. We heard from Jenny Willoughby, a domestic abuse survivor, about her experience going public with such a personal and traumatic story. Former United States Senator Dennis DeConcini reflected on the Anita Hill hearings 27 years ago and how the Judiciary Committee dealt with her allegations against Clarence Thomas. We also heard from many of you who are brave enough to call in and share your own stories. Thank you. The question now is, where does this all go from here? And for that, I turn to my guest, Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, and Alana Shore, Congressional Reporter for Politico. Susan, Alana, thanks for joining us. Alana, I want to start with you. What are the expectations right now that we are going to have a public hearing next week that will feature Dr. Blasey Ford testifying?
Well, that honestly depends a lot on Republicans and how strong their stomach continues to be for what has been an absolutely frenetic and chaotic week of PR for them. Certainly, they want Judge Kavanaugh to have a chance to tell his story. But with Ford's camp talking about a hearing as late as Thursday, that would mean, you know, just about 2 weeks of letting this dangle out in the public eye. And it's time that Republicans aren't spent, frankly, making their case to voters ahead of the midterms. So what I'm looking for and I'm watching is, when do they start nudging the White House to say, look, you had other nominees in this shortlist. Is it time to pull the plug? I can say I don't think that's happened yet, but we feel on the edge of that.
Susan Page, do you agree that we could actually be looking at a point, not just where we have a testimony, but that the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh actually is pulled and we start the process all over again?
You know, I think it is possible. I know that the White House and Senate Republicans don't want to go that route. There is every possibility that if his nomination is withdrawn, they'll have a lot of trouble getting a new nominee through, especially before the new Congress and the new Senate takes office in January. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't know whether there's going to be hearings next week. We don't know whether Judge Kavanaugh will stick. Although he says he will. He says he wants to defend himself. He denies categorically the allegations that are made against him. So I think this is a situation where it is really impossible to make an informed prediction on what's going to happen next. This next week is going to be really critical.
Alana, what are the issues right now determining whether or not we see the testimony? I know that both sides, Blasey Ford, her attorneys, and Chuck Grassley and his staff are going over the sort of conditions for testimony. Where are the sticking points right now?
Well, that call happened yesterday evening, and we talked to two sources who were involved in it, and there are quite a few sticking points. However, all sides described it as positive. The biggest sticking points are probably these. Ford's camp wants Kavanaugh to testify first, which Republicans see as a non-starter because effectively that robs him of his chance to respond to his accuser's allegations if he does go first. Secondarily, they don't like the idea of Ford's camp saying no outside counsel. Republicans have been looking at a female outside counsel potentially coming in and asking questions because they are, of course, deeply aware of the bad political optics of 11 men on their side of the aisle questioning Ford. Well, Ford's lawyers aren't interested in that, and that might be a non-starter. The date is somewhat more flexible. You know, Chairman Grassley had been pretty adamant about Monday, but we saw that sort of fall away yesterday as Ford's camp said, hey, look, we're willing to do next week, but just not Monday. So we really are on tenterhooks now about timing. Another thing that's important to note is Ford's camp says, we don't really want this situation where 1,000 cameras are popping their flashbulbs in her face. She's a private person. They requested just one, you know, pool style camera, which is the media term, right, for one photographer who sends pics to others. But that could end up being an issue.
How likely is it, Alana, that a vote actually occurs without this testimony happening, that the Republicans on the Senate committee say, we've given you these options, and we're not going to compromise anymore. We've laid this down, and we're just going to take a vote.
So much of that honestly depends on Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's communications with his few undecided votes. I think right now, red state Democratic votes were once seen as really in play for this nominee, and now not so much. So McConnell is effectively taking the temperature constantly of Jeff Flake, of Susan Collins, of Lisa Murkowski, to make sure they're all right with potentially pulling the plug on these talks and just having a vote. Of course, we're not there yet.
Susan Page, we know there are also a number of Senate red state Democrats who are up this year. There were pressure on them to support the Kavanaugh nomination. What do we know about them and what these new allegations have meant for their decision whether to support him or not?
Well, Senator McCaskill from Missouri has announced she'll vote against his nomination, although she cited his stance on campaign finance reform, not these latest allegations. But from the trio that we thought might well vote for him, who voted for Justice Gorsuch, for instance, I think those are going to be very tough votes for Republicans to get now, because there is now an increased imperative among Democrats that this is a serious allegation. It's on top of other concerns that they had about Judge Kavanaugh. And I think that's why Republicans are now thinking they really need to hold every Republican vote. And that means that they cannot give the appearance of not listening to the allegations. I think that makes it very hard for Senator Grassley to not have a hearing if Dr. Ford is not setting unreasonable conditions. You know, the condition that she goes second, I think that might be seen as unreasonable. The condition that she wants to limit the number of cameras in the room, that seems that could seem very reasonable and something on which the committee would be forced to compromise. The question on who does the questioning, maybe it should have occurred to Republicans that they might want to have put a woman senator on the Judiciary Committee with the benefit of this hindsight.
And what do we know just about the political repercussions for how this all plays out? What do we think about ultimately where this goes?
I think the repercussions could be considerable. And it depends in part on what happens. If she doesn't seem to be given her say, if they kind of rush this through, they confirm a justice who's going to be a critical swing vote on the court, I think that could further energize women voters who we've seen remarkable activism from since that women's march the day after the inauguration of President Trump. If he doesn't make it through, and that seems unfair, maybe that energizes Republican voters.
Susan Page, USA Today had a poll out the public's view of Brett Kavanaugh. What did you all find?
This was, I thought, very interesting. This poll was taken with Ipsos on Wednesday and Thursday, so it could not be more current. It's in the wake of these allegations getting some currency. And what we found was unprecedented. We found a plurality of Americans opposed the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And not since we began to poll on Supreme Court nominations have we had a situation where a plurality opposed. Now, sometimes the support hasn't been that fervent. Harriet Myers, for instance, she never got that much support before a nomination was withdrawn. But this is a new situation. And the other thing we found a big partisan divide. You'd expect that. Another thing we found was a big divide on gender. Women oppose the nomination by double digits. Men support the nomination by single digits. And it goes to who do you believe with these sexual allegations. Women by double digits say, I believe the accuser. Men by single digits say, I believe his denials.
The other thing that I noticed in that poll that was quite remarkable was voters believed that ultimately Brett Kavanaugh would be confirmed, that this would hurt Republicans politically, and it would hurt the Me Too movement. How do we make sense of all of those disparate views in one place?
So 40% say I oppose his nomination, but only 11% say he won't be confirmed. So there is an expectation that he is likely to be confirmed. And that carries some big risks, it seems to me, for Republicans if they win confirmation. Of course, they want to win confirmation. This is an important vote for the White House and for Senate Republicans. But you'll have a lot of people who thought something happened that they didn't think ought to happen. We ask, who is it going to hurt? If the nomination gets pushed through by Republicans, despite these allegations, who will that hurt? Americans thought it would hurt Senate Republicans' chances of holding the Senate in the midterm elections. They thought it would hurt President Trump. And they also thought it would hurt the Me Too movement.
Alana, I want to move to Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's been in the center of this controversy. Of course, she is the person who had hold of that anonymous letter. There's a tremendous amount of criticism about her decision to not make this letter public. Can you talk to us a little bit about what she is doing right now and the feelings about her and the expectations for her as we go forward in this process?
Yeah, the coverage of this honestly has been very confusing because it's a confusing issue. Essentially, Senator Feinstein is saying, I hung onto this letter, didn't give it to the FBI until my hand was forced by a leak to the media, because how could I have done that confidentially? If the FBI starts investigating someone, it's pretty easy for the press to get a wind of what's happening. So she essentially waited to act until this leak forced her hand. And of course, we don't know who first leaked Ford's letter. That's still a mystery. Now, Republicans say, that's just not true. You should have referred this to the FBI earlier in such a way as to protect her confidentiality. So that's really the crux of the Feinstein argument. And when we talk about Feinstein being under fire, it's under fire from Republicans inside the Beltway. Her own liberal challenger out in California for re-election, Kevin De Leon, has his own sexual misconduct issues in the state legislature out there that have kind of backfired on him as he's tried to criticize her. So yeah, she's taking heat, but it's not really imperiling her political future, and none of her fellow Democratic senators have criticized her on the record at all. So the Feinstein story is pretty murky.
The other group of folks were paying close attention to Susan are the evangelical community, specifically the leadership of the evangelical community, which continues to support Brett Kavanaugh, wants to see this nomination get through. The concern they have is that many of their voters supported Donald Trump with the belief that he was going to be appointing Supreme Court justices. This could derail that. Can you talk to us a little bit about what this means at this moment for the evangelical community and what they are saying about these charges against Brett Kavanaugh?
You know, this has been one of the interesting things politically with President Trump, because he had the support of the evangelical community despite credible accusations of sexual misconduct by himself. And the evangelical leadership stuck with him, and so did a lot of evangelical voters, despite questions about his own character. And that was very transactional on their part, because President Trump promised to deliver on issues, including first and foremost, the appointment of a Supreme Court justice who would move toward overturning Roe v. Wade. That is a fundamental animating issue for a lot of evangelical voters to further restrict abortion rights. And so President Trump has delivered on what he promised evangelical voters, and they've stuck with him even in the face of controversy. And we see the same dynamic happening here with Judge Kavanaugh. One question I have that I don't think we can answer at this point is, do evangelical voters agree with their leaders that questions of personal character are irrelevant when you have the opportunity to score a political victory? And that's something I think we don't know yet. One concern might be for Republicans, not that evangelical voters would then vote Democratic if they found that unacceptable, but they might just not vote at all.
I want to get you both to weigh in, too, on the White House reaction and what they're doing about this. President Trump, who is in Las Vegas up early, tweeted this out. I've no doubt if the attack on Dr. Ford was as bad as she said, charges would have been immediately filed with local law enforcement. I asked that she bring those filings forward. We can learn the date, time, and place. At another point, he said that this was about Democrats obstructing. This was a political process. Alana, it seemed for a moment, at least, or a couple of days, that the president was kind of taking a hands-off approach here, saying we want to hear from Dr. Blasey Ford, trying to stay out of the middle of this, and now has jumped right on in.
Yeah, this is looking like it could be Republicans' worst nightmare soon, because that relative reticence from the president had given Republicans a little room to maneuver without feeling like Trump was getting out there and blasting Ford's credibility. So it let Republicans look a little fair on this point, but it's important to state with regards to this tweet that the majority of victims of sexual assault of this nature do not come forward. And so this expectation that why didn't she say something just isn't really borne out by the actual facts with regard to these episodes. But politically speaking, this is just not good for Republicans. This comes after a close ally of the judge laid out a fairly tortured and potentially defamatory mistaken identity theory on Twitter after hyping it for days. So Republicans are really lurching right now when it comes to defending this nominee.
Susan?
And I agree with that, but I would also say that President Trump has made it clear he will pull this nomination if it is politically necessary for him. He's not invested personally in Judge Kavanaugh the way, for instance, President George H.W. Bush was in Clarence Thomas.
All right. Thanks to you both, Susan Page from USA Today, Alana Shore from Politico. That's all for us today. Remember, you can always find us on Facebook, leave a comment there, or tweet us at The Takeaway, or you can send one to me at Amy E. Walter. Thanks so much for being with us this week. I'm Amy Walter. This is The Takeaway.